This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, today I have a jam-packed show. It's going to be fun. The word of the day is wackadoodle, okay? That doesn't mean that my first guest is wackadoodle. That's just the word of the day, because I do have some wackadoodle guests. Lauren Fix is here, carcoachreports.com. She is the car coach. You can find her on all forms of social media at Lauren Fix. That's actually her name. And all I can say is, hi, Lauren.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing good. By the way, you know, our world is really changing in many, many ways, as the automakers normally would be, you know, having all these events, what we call, you know, press reveals, where we are the press. They bring us in. They sit us down, they give us a technical briefing on the vehicle that they're launching, and then we all go out and drive them for a couple hundred miles on a big route. And sometimes it's in the mountains, sometimes it's, you know, along the beach, whatever it might be. But we're not doing any of that. And for example, the car makers are having to do these virtual car reveals online. Now, I know the F-150 has just been shown to the world, well, to the journalistic world, and it's starting to creep out a little bit. I could not attend that virtual meeting, but no. I think you did.
Yeah, I did, and I also got a backgrounder talking to a bunch of executives, so we got some really good information.
Okay, so the 2021 F-150, what did they teach us about it, and how new will it be?
Well, we'll start on the outside. I think you're going to see a slightly different look from the front. So it's going to have LED lights, of course, but it's just, I think it's got a more muscular look, more of a work truck look. But I think what they did is the smartest thing that Ford did is they said, this is like a duh to you and I. Let's talk to the people who already own the vehicles and find out what they like and don't like about the vehicle. I think it's a genius idea, obviously. Yeah. So they did. And what they found out is, what they wish the vehicle had and what they don't like about the vehicle and how people shut off technology and how certain technologies they love. So it's not just the exterior look, just straight on. They changed the grill. They changed the headlights. I mean, that's, you know, it's expected that they're going to do that from the front end of it. And along the side, the profile is a little different. I think the biggest changes are they're going to have different drive lines. So they're going to have a hybrid drive line, which I think is one of the biggest things, because some people want to have that hybrid EcoBoost, but they're going to have the ability, not just for longer distances, but they're going to use some of that technology to have onboard generators available on the full lineup.
That's smart. I agree.
That's huge. Now, if you're using it as a work truck, because it's a real truck, which is so funny, because when you look at something like a Tesla truck, that's not a functioning truck in real life, as you and I know. That's a truck that is made to be tough, productive, powerful, you know, capable, reliable. It's not a plug-in where you have to sit 6 hours to go. You want to fill it up and go. Well, so they're working on a full electric line. We're going to see that very soon.
I will say, don't get me started on the Transformer truck from Tesla. I think personally, I know Josh is going to talk about it here in the next. It's just, evidently they have it on display at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. I just drive the other direction. I don't care. To me, that is a, what do you want to call it? It's like a Hollywood.
It's the new groovy roller skate.
Yeah, it's a Hollywood truck. You know, it's like this, what you're talking about with the 2021 Ford F-150 with a hybrid EcoBoost setup. You know, and they've said before, if Jesus was alive today, what would he drive? He was a carpenter. He'd probably be driving a hybrid version with an EcoBoost F-150, because then when he's on the job site, he's got a built-in generator that's clean. Clean burning.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yep. And you know, it's funny, when you're thinking about that truck, you said he's a carpenter, right? Jesus is a carpenter. Yep. And what about people that actually use this truck? So they're making the tailgate useful by making it a workbench. It's going to be able to accommodate C-clamps. There's going to be spots to put tools so they don't roll off. Huh. Because if you're working, you're cutting tiling or you're cutting wood or whatever it is that you do, pipe, tubing, you can put down that tailgate and have a flat surface.
Ah,
genius.
So they're really getting smart. All right, hang tight. We are talking with my buddy, Lauren Fix, carcoachreports.com on the web. Check out our website. And you can find her on all forms of social media at Lauren Fix. Real simple. You'll see her on the news on Fox and CNN and the Weather Channel, wherever she ends up when they want to talk about cars. They call Lauren a lot of times, and I'm proud to be your friend. Thank you, Lauren. We're going to take a break. Going to come back and talk more about what Ford Motor Company is doing, because next we need to talk a little bit about this new coming Bronco. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Drive. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, we're talking Ford trucks. The 2021 has been shown to the journalist. If you want to see it, Google it. 2021 F-150. Lauren Fix is here to talk about it from carcoachreports.com. Are you going to be putting some pictures up today? What's going on?
Yeah, I put a copy of the whole F-150 launch, everything that everyone got to see with Dennis Leary. It's a little long in the tooth at times. You can scrub forward. It's on my site under breaking news, and you can see everything that we got to see.
Oh, here it is. Okay, because I'm on your site right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a video.
Yeah.
Is it a video?
It's their launch. Yeah, they're now professionally producing it rather than, when you and I go, they trip over each other's tongues and, they can't,
usual
silliness.
Wow. Oh, yeah, look at that. My goodness. Okay, well, that's cool. All right, well, yeah, so if you guys want to see what we get to see, well, go to Lauren's site, carcoachreports.com. Don't need to look any further than that. All right. So as far as, I think you said it, and I have a feeling that with the 2021 Bronco, which is, I don't know, in the next few weeks, we're going to get this same treatment. Mm-hmm. You're right. They basically asked everybody, you've owned an F-150. What would you love to have about that truck? And then I'm sure they implemented a lot of those things. Now, I backed in to a 2019 F-150 a couple of days ago with my Ram. I have a dually four-wheel drive. And this poor guy, I'm going to out myself here. I'm driving out of a parking lot, actually my parking lot. I have a little plaza that my office is in. I'm driving out, and I let this man who's walking over to this post office thing that's in the plaza, I'm like, go ahead, no, you go. And I'm like, having this little sign language conversation. So he walks in front of me, right? And then I drive ahead, and I'm going to turn left and go down the one-way street. And I kind of had a second thought, and I thought, I'm going to go out the other side and go the other direction and the other one-way street, because it's on, one-way streets on both sides of this plaza. So I back up. Right then, somebody calls me. What happens when somebody calls and your phone is hooked to Bluetooth? This could be a flaw within the Ram trucks. I don't know. Mm-hmm. When the phone rings, it disables the backup sensor alarm, like the beep, beep. So
no,
I backed
really?
Up.
I don't know. I have not seen that.
I don't know either.
I have an F-350 crew cab dually diesel, just like you have a big truck.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I backed up right at the wrong time. I reach forward to answer it, and as I'm touching answer, boom. Now, I didn't hit him very hard.
Ugh.
All we did was kiss bumpers, but I thought to myself, man, that's a pretty truck. So what you're saying is about the 2021 F-150, not a huge dramatic change, but just subtle little art and science kind of changes that you'll notice if you look real close, but not from, 100 yards.
Right, and the interior is bigger screens, more technology, things that people want. And I think that the flat folding seats, I mean, if you can use it, it's a vehicle for production, for you to produce something and live life and have one vehicle, whether you're camping, you're using it for work, using it for home. Because I tell you what, if I said, Alan, you can only have one vehicle, what would you buy? That's it. For the rest of the, from the time you can drive for the rest of your life, most people are smart enough to buy a crew cab pickup truck. You know, there's a million brands to choose from, but
right,
it makes sense for everything.
I'm looking at your website right now at this reveal. Yeah, I could see subtle changes, which I happen to like. I happen to love this truck. And I think the fact that they're offering now a hybrid version of the EcoBoost, I think they've got a real winner on their hands. I would love to see some of the other stuff and play with this truck a little bit in person. I think that Ford is doing a fantastic job. Ooh, I like the, I'm seeing the upline, you know, the, what do they call it? The Platinum. Looks beautiful. So let's talk about the this Bronco a little bit. Now, they're really going up against the Jeep Wrangler. And I have a feeling that that is going to be the battle, is the trail-rated version of whatever they're going to do. They're really going to have to make a capable off-road vehicle. Do you know anything about what they're doing there?
I do know some stuff. Let's see. There's going to be a Bronco and a Bronco Sport.
Yeah.
I do know they are definitely going head-to-head with Jeep, because Jeep doesn't really have a competitor.
I know.
And so if you're going to bring Bronco on the market and just call it like the same thing as an Edge, then what are you doing? So instead, this is going to be completely all its own. We're hearing prices somewhere around $32,500.
Oh, man.
I don't, yeah. So right, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Hold tight.
We're going with
hold
all
tight.
That legendary Bronco content.
Yes. We're going to take you on to the other side of the break and talk more Bronco and then a little other news. Not going to let you get away with just talking about one manufacturer. You can find Lauren Fix at her website, carcoachreports.com. Lots of good stuff. If you're interested in seeing Dennis Leary talking about the new F-150, there's the whole video right there for you to watch. We'll be right back. It is The Drive. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Outback. Go where love takes you, Subaru. My buddy's on the phone right now, Lauren Fix. You can find her on all social media at Lauren Fix. Also, check out our website, carcoachreports.com. We're talking a little bit about the new 2021 F-150 and... Now, we've shifted a little bit to the new Bronco. There's spy shots here and there. And you know what? I don't know. I don't. It's like it, for whatever reason, it's not making me go, oh, my gosh. You know, it's like, okay, but you can't tell until, you know, till the aftermarket gets a hold of it and turns it into something I got to have, which happens, you know?
Yeah, well, we'll both be at SEMA.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's part of the fun stuff that we get to do every once in a while.
It's going to be weird, but they're going to do it, but it's going to be strange with all the, you know, 6 feet.
And I'm an anti-masker. I don't like to breathe exhaust, so.
I know, right? Your own exhaust, especially. Well, wait a minute. That comes from the other end. But anyway, all right, let's go back to the Bronco. That's supposed to happen like the 13th of July or something like that.
It was originally supposed to be at the New York Auto Show, which was canceled. Then they were going to do July 9th, and they found it was on top of O.J. Simpson's birthday, which I think was actually a really genius PR move. But then they moved it to July 13th. I'm like, why would you do that? Oh, my God.
Oh, well. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah, I know. But we're going to see it soon. They're going to make them 2021s. They were supposed to be 2020s. But we do have some information. Some people got to see it by accident. Some of the cleaning crew at wherever they were stored in some warehouse took pictures. I don't think I'd want to be on the receiving end of a phone call from Ford's legal team.
Oh
but that's probably not good. But they're saying it's going to start around $30,000. As far as engines and so forth, we don't have too much information. We know there will be a turbocharged 2.3-liter four-cylinder. There's going to be a 2.7-liter V6, which is the same one that's available in the F-150.
Yeah, EcoBoost.
We are told manual transmission.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting.
Right.
Eventually, they're going to be a hybrid powertrain. I don't know. I mean, it looks like a Jeep. It really does. It's got a wider stance, LED taillights. You know, going to have a spare tire in the back, you know, enclosed.
But
it's all going to come down to one thing.
What's that?
Is it as capable as a Jeep?
Exactly.
If it isn't, don't even bother.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be the urban cowboys, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you don't want to be a wannabe. You want to have something that goes, wow, that's an awesome vehicle.
Right, got to be capable. So we talked about the F-150, how they took owners of F-150s and trucks in general, I guess, and said, what would you love to see on the new, you know, F-150? So my feeling is that they went to the Jeep owners and, you know, I'm asking a lot of you, you know, my contributors like yourself, what you guys think. I think they went to Jeep owners and said, what would you change or what would you add for a vehicle like a Jeep if you could try and make it better? They're not just going to try and match. They're going to try and be better than a Jeep. And I don't know how they can do that. My goodness gracious, that's a big, tall order.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, my concern is, and I think you have the same thing, very smart if they actually did that and make it better. But if they're not going to make it better, they're going to make it equal, or they're going to come out in stages, it doesn't work that way. You do like a Raptor Bronco, you kick everybody's butt, hands down.
That's what I think they should do, too. That should be the launch vehicle. Anyway, but all right, enough of that.
They'd sell them so quickly they wouldn't be able to keep them.
Exactly.
But anytime you build something cool like that, whether it be a Hellcat, you know, what people want. Because if you're not standing out in the crowd, you're just lost in the mix.
Exactly. What else is going on in the automotive marketplace that you want to highlight?
Oh, interesting stuff. I've been talking about this. I just was on Fox Business. The newest, hottest thing that we're all thinking EVs. Well, China only goes with, you know, the new shiny thing in the corner. They were saying, we're going to go all electric. Well, now they're realizing they don't have the electricity, and they have to build nuclear power plants, and they still don't have the infrastructure. So the new shiny object is blue gas. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Huh?
It's natural gas, so you're going to use natural gas-based hydrogen. And we have unlimited supply. It has zero carbon, so it meets the threshold. And to prove that this is it, China's already put $66 billion into it, and they have the largest gas station in the world in Shanghai.
What?
And we're watching Duke Energy put $250 million in. Yeah. So watch the shift. Although we already know what Elon Musk said. He says that's total BS. It's junk. Yeah, well, you say it when you don't have it.
Wow.
It's like a child in school.
Wow. Yeah. I hear rumor Dodge is up to something with big horsepower. When can we talk about that?
July 3rd, there's going to be a bunch of information about those of you that like performance, like Alan and I do. And
yeah.
I think we like anything that has performance. I don't even care what brand it is. It better be good, you know?
That's right. I am brand agnostic as long as it's over 700 horsepower, period.
Done. I'm in. I've got a couple of those. I love them. Toys.
I know. So have you been driving your GT or your Mustang GT500 much?
Both, actually. We have a little group we call it I posted on Instagram at Lauren Fix. I always put up the unofficial Cars and Coffee or the unofficial gathering. So we've had a lot of local people that have Ferraris and McLarens and such. And so we all get together, we pick a location, we all get together, and we've had like 40, 50 cars, and we all go caravanning to either wineries or to a destination or just sit around and talk at a coffee place.
Love it.
And it's been fabulous, especially with everything going on.
No doubt. Well, be safe, Lauren Fix, at Lauren Fix, all forms of social media, and her website, Car Coach Reports. Get over there and watch that F-150 reveal that they did for the journalists. Lauren, thank you. I love you.
I love you too. Thanks, guys.
All right. A real car gal, Lauren Fix. We're going to take a break, and there's a whole bunch more wackadoodle stuff here on The Drive.
Hey, brother.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
This song reminded me of my next guest, who I've known for a good long time. First, I want to make sure I tell you that we are part of Drive Tribe. You know, Jeremy Clarkson and the Top Gear crew started Drive Tribe. DriveTribe.com. You can also find it on Facebook. Join my tribe. Create your own tribe. Matter of fact, that's what I'm going to talk to our next guest about. His name is Jeff Dorge, mybmwhabit.com. He's got like 40,000 members on Facebook and growing. And I can tell you right now, Jeff, if you don't get a Drive Tribe, if you don't get your own tribe for your habit, you'd be making a big mistake. This is like perfect for you. It's designed for the car guy.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll look right into that. That sounds good because I love those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, Alan? That was the ultimate triumph in my divorce. My ex-wife, this was 8 years ago, 9 years ago, she was telling me, we were talking somewhere, and she was telling me how she still watched Top Gear. That's success, man, when you can get your ex-wife, who always hated cars when she was married to you, watch Top Gear. So there you go.
I think to myself, oh, no, he's not going the divorce thing. He's going to badmouth his ex-wife. And no, actually, you're like, I converted her.
Yeah.
I love it.
He's still driving that crappy Hyundai, but, you know, that's not my problem.
That's too funny. Okay, so first of all, Jeff, you and I met at Barrett Jackson about, what has it been now, 20 years ago? Something like that?
Easy. Yeah. I think it was 1999.
Oh, my God. Right. That's too funny.
Yeah.
In my office hangs the, I don't know whether I call it a painting or a photo, a piece of art, that's what we call it, that you gave to me. And it was evidently, I think if I remember correctly the story, I loved it. It was an old 356 Porsche, probably a speedster. I can't remember because it's behind me.
It was a speedster.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it was a speedster.
Right? So it's on the other side of the wall, and I have to talk this way. Hold on a sec. Yes, it is a white one. And it was in a moss-covered garage door opening. Looked like it probably had been sitting there. You know, not moss-covered, but like, what do you call that? Like vines? Vines?
Patina.
Yes.
You know, it was, I mean, it just was sitting there. I mean, and, you know, it's that thing that we car guys always talk about, you know, that you're going to find an original Shelby Cobra in a barn.
Right,
you're
going to
find an original Dodge Daytona Super B in a barn, you know, that kind of thing.
No, I loved it. And you then told me the story. You said, you know, I put that car inside that, you know, garage. And I go, what are you talking about? And you were like, this is way before I knew anything about Photoshop, or I didn't even know what you use. But, you know, today, everybody.
Yeah, it was very early in the Photoshop world.
So you Photoshopped the car in there, and then you gave it this kind of crazy old painting look. And I look, I go, I gotta have it. And here it is 20 years later. I've taken it from office building to office building, from my first office at my home, and here it is hanging in my office now. But you don't do that anymore, which is hilarious. You do now My BMW Habit, and you do a magazine.
I might start doing it again in another year or two.
Yeah.
When I build up the client base with Habit, but I would do just exclusively BMW images this time. So,
okay, so
I kind of miss it because I've been getting a lot of phone calls and messages from people who, you know, still have the prints 20 years later.
Yeah.
So it's
beautiful. I got to tell you. And I have a lot of, you know, Pebble Beach posters, and I've got some stuff from Vic Edelbrock, you know, a poster that they made and signed for me, and SoCal Speed Shop, and there hangs my Porsche, you know, in the old garage, and everybody goes, oh, I like that one. And it's like, really? You don't like this one, that one, that one, this one, that one, that one? So, yes, you should get
that
back into it.
That was probably one of my best-selling edition prints,
see?
I mean, because, you know, you always dream of getting that fine, you know, and, you know, carrying it forward to My BMW Habit. You know, I remember, I don't know if we were all at Barrett Jackson or if it was on TV or whatever, but I remember Jay Leno saying, you don't find the cars find you.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, there's this lady in my neighborhood. I met her outside the health club. This was 6 years ago. And at the time, Billy was 84 years old. And she was driving this gorgeous little red BMW 325E, red black leather, manual transmission, and this thing looked perfect, right? So I'm looking at her car, and she comes out, and I had just bought that red Z4 that I had when I met you,
right,
when I came up to your place a few years back, right?
Yep, yep.
And so I'm talking to her, and I say, hey, you want to sell this thing? And she said, well, she goes, you know, my kids want me to get a new car. But she goes, all these new damn BMWs, they don't have a manual transmission anymore. She goes, I can't drive an automatic. And she was 84. I mean, how cool is that, right?
I love that, right?
You know, so she's telling me about the car, that she was the original owner. She and her husband, when they bought the car, she said he was an engineer. The car had an oil change every 3,000 miles. And, you know, so I'm getting more and more interested. And she's like, yeah, I don't want to sell it. You know, she goes, but give me your number anyway. And so I would see her around town, and every time I'd see her around town, I'd go, you sure you don't want to sell that thing? And no. And then about a year ago, Pam and I saw her at Whole Foods, and she just held up her hand. She goes, I know. She goes, I have your number. I know. And in the meantime, you know, Pam's like, don't pester that nice old lady. You know, I'm like, yeah, but I want that car, you know, and so, and I'd always see it zooming around the neighborhood. So I was like, damn, I want that car. And so anyway, I started talking. I've got a good independent BMW shop actually just up the street from me. And he and I said, you got to see this car. He says, oh, yeah, that's Billy. He goes, I've been working on her car for like 10 years.
Oh, that's
awesome.
He
said, she's really fussy. He said, anytime something goes wrong with it, she just opens up her purse and says, fix it, right?
That's great.
So as fate would have it, a couple Tuesdays ago, it was about, yeah, maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Jason calls me. He goes, dude, that red 325, he goes, they just put Billy in assisted living. She can't drive anymore.
Oh.
And they're going to sell the car. I know. Well, she's 90 now, you know?
Right.
And so this was Friday at 4 o'clock. I said, have them call me. Well, they didn't call me. So I didn't sleep all weekend thinking, I got to get the car. So finally, Tuesday morning, I called them and we talked for a while, and, you know, I just said, well, here's the deal. I said, I'll give you $6,000 for the car. That's top dollar for the car. You know, it's going to...
Did they take it?
You know, again, you buy a car...
I got to take a commercial break. Did they let you buy it? Tell me, yes or no?
Well, there's more.
Oh, then hold on. Let me take it over to the next... Hold on. Hold on. 1 second. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a break.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
All right, the guy is excited, you can tell. Welcome back, it's The Drive. Jeff Dorge joining us. He's the publisher of My BMW Habit. He's like a drug addict, you can tell. He's trying to buy a BMW from an old lady. I almost got... The FCC was going to get after me. You went so long on that one. All right. All right. So...
Sorry, man.
The rest
of... Tuesday, we talk, and they're going to call me back. And I didn't think I was going to get the car. So the next day, they call me, and they said, we decided we need more money for the car. So I said, well, you know, at that point, I'm not playing. So... 4:30 in the afternoon, yeah, we changed our mind. We'll let you take the car. So I got the car. The car is like, it's like a time capsule. It's been in a garage and hand washed every day of its life.
That's awesome. And what is it? What is it again? It's, you know, which BMW is it, by the way, quickly?
This is an 86 325 ES. So it's got sport suspension. I mean, I've, like I said, in a week, I've had it in for all the belts, all the hoses, all the fluids. Fresh set of conies, fresh set of springs. So it's even a little better than new now.
So you guys, if you're listening to Jeff, he is a he's a tech guy as well. He is a publisher of a magazine, a digital magazine. He and I have known each other for about 20 years. He is a dyed-in-the-wool car guy. Obviously, mybmwhabit.com and on Facebook, you can find him. Over 40,000 members on Facebook and growing. I had no idea that the people were so ferocious for these older BMWs. They're kind of, I'll give you an example. My son has a 74 2002 BMW original paint, and it's that bright orange, and it's in really nice shape. I'm going to actually have him send you pictures because you need to help him sell it. It's just sitting in my garage, and he moved down
there. How much did you want for it?
I don't know. I'll let you and him work it out. But I think, you know, you see these things.
Don't talk to me. I might be interested.
Totally. I'll send you pictures of it. But, I mean, these things are like gold right now, right?
You know, they are. But, you know, you're mostly a classic American car guy, right?
Well, I like them all. That's all there is to it.
I know you're like me. You like them all. I mean, you probably concentrate a little more on your own cars more on the American side, right?
I do. I think I am finding that I am a little bit of a muscle car guy at this point in my life.
Right. Okay. So let's just take muscle cars, for example. If you're going to buy, say, a 69 Camaro, okay, you can buy a pile of bolts for $10,000, or you can buy an awesome car at Bear Jackson for $300,000. Or you can buy a totally restomodded car out. Or, you know, there's a lot of variations on the theme. And, you know, the unfortunate thing that I've seen with so much stuff on the internet is that everybody that's got a piece of junk wants Barrett Jackson money for it.
Right.
And that's the, and I mean, and again, it transcends the country of origin. You know, these cars are all 40, 50, some of them are 60 years old. You got to go over everything, you know, and the 2002 is a really great car, but there's certain trim bits, there's certain stuff that's really, really expensive or non-existent anymore, right. You know, so you got to watch that. And if he's, did you say he has a 76?
I think it's a 74.
74 is not bad because that was the last year before they put catalytic converters on them.
Right.
You remember when they hung catalytic converters on everything in 75 and 76.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything just went down the drain. Remember when 75 Corvette was like 180 horsepower or 170 horsepower?
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. And it was the same thing in the German stuff. They hung these cats right inside the exhaust manifolds. They called them thermal reactors. And so they made heads crack, all that. So 74 still doesn't have a cat. So, and there's the regular 2002, and then there's the TII, and that's like, the regular 2002's got a rubber carb on it. They're about 100 horsepower.
All right, you're digging too deep. You are digging into the weeds. Let me ask you this before we go to break again. My BMW Habit website, do you talk about new cars too, or just the old classics?
A little bit, not as much. I mean, we're not trying to focus as much on reviews and on full builds per se. I'm trying to talk more about the people that are like me, that are crazy, that have three of them or five of them or 12 of them or 20 of them, and kind of how the car integrates into your life and how you're, you know, I mean, the running joke with my wife, Pam, is we'll be sitting in bed doing stuff because she's working on her master's degree and I'm geeking out on my computer. And she goes, "What are you looking at?" And I said, "Porn." And she goes, "Oh, you're on the tire rack site." I'm like, "Uh-huh." You know, so
tires.
You know, I talked to the sales lady at the local BMW dealer, and she was talking about, you know, how women sometimes will say they buy a purse and then they buy shoes to match or they buy a dress to match. And I said, "Well, yeah," I said, "I know what that's like." I said, "I buy wheels and then I buy a car to match the wheel." You know, so it's,
I did that once.
You know how that goes.
I wanted a Porsche, you know, so bad. I bought a set of Porsche wheels at this swap meet. And I thought, I'm going to buy the car to go with these wheels. And it took me years. I actually finally did. All right, I got to take another break. So I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate to you. It's Stevie Ray Vaughan, Pride and Joy. But I have a question. How many cars, well, just say how many BMWs do you have right now, Mr. MyBMWHabit.com?
I have 15 right now.
Oh, jeez. You are an addict, bro. I think you're an addict or a hoarder, one of the two. We'll take a little break. We're talking to Jeff Dorgue, publisher of MyBMWHabit.com. Find him on the web. Find him on Facebook. He's my friend for a long time. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Where you've heard about love and giving sight to the blind. My baby loving cause the sun to shine. She my sweet little thing. She my pride and joy. She my sweet little baby.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit HatcherFoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And totally obsessed car guy, like my friend, the publisher of MyBMWHabit.com, Jeff Dorgue. Jeff and I have been friends for about 20 years. We don't see each other very often anymore because he's moved on to other things and he lives about 700 miles. No, maybe not. No, maybe 500 miles away. You live in Vancouver? Where do you live?
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver, Washington. Yeah. Not BC, Washington.
Yeah,
so
right.
About, I think it took me about 4.5, because you're in Grants Pass, right?
Yeah, I live on the Oregon-California border. And but you know, I don't see you at Barrett-Jackson anymore because you've moved on from that art thing you did. But you are one of those totally obsessed owners, and of course you love BMWs. Can you talk about what cars you have in this collection of 15?
Sure. I've got the 83 320i. It's not the first one I owned, but that's the first BMW I bought way back when. And then I've got a couple of the E30 3 Series BMWs, that new one I just picked up. I've got an 86, an 89, and a 92 convertible. I've got a couple of Z3s. I bought my wife a Z3 because you know how it is. If your wife has a car that she loves, then she doesn't mind you getting cars.
No, so I get it. Now, listen, I want you to know that I own a BMW right now. It just says Toyota on the front.
Oh, you've got a Supra. Those are great. I like those. You know, a lot of the BMW guys really have their pants twisted about that. But,
yeah,
you know, technology platform, that's the way of the world in 2020.
I know.
I don't have a problem with that. It sounds really good. Whenever I hear one going by, they sound great.
I have a black one, and it's serial number 1500 of the first 1500 launch edition.
Nice.
It was a serial numbered group of cars that they made, you know, 1500 only launch edition, and I got serial number 1500. So I feel like I got the last
one, right? Yeah, well, that'll be worth some money.
So what is your favorite?
Yeah.
What is your favorite out of the group of cars you have?
I would say I have two favorites. I really like my 89 325IS that we just got done rebuilding the motor, all the suspension, all of that stuff. It's just a real pure, real analog, you know, real driver's car. And then I've got a 2002 Z3 M Roadster with the big S54 motor in it. And I bought this thing from a friend. This car had almost $60,000 worth of stuff on it.
Ooh,
I mean, it had about 20, 30K worth of Denon stuff on it. It had three-piece Kinesis wheels on it. I mean, this guy got custom Kinesis wheels so he could stuff 3 1530s under the back of a Z3 M Roadster. I mean, this thing's like a German Shelby Cobra.
Right, but
you know,
wait a minute.
You turn the traction control off and you just get burnouts all day long.
This car, it is, to me, if I look at the new Supra, which is BMW based, I see it's like there's a family resemblance somehow in those two cars. You know what I mean? And I happen to love that car that you have. Yeah. All right. So here's a question. Hold on.
It's a
here's
real
another one.
Raw car.
Yeah. No, I love it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I just, there's so much to try and pack into the last 2 minutes here. What do you think is the most collectible BMW right now within the $5,000 to $20,000 range?
The E30s. Definitely the E30s. All the 86, the 84 to 92 3 Series, the E30 BMW. Okay. That's the most collectible for not crazy money.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to get ahead of the curve with people. I think for those of you who love BMWs the way that Jeff Dorgé does, if you're obsessed with them, then you should probably go and check out his website and his Facebook page, My BMW Habit.
Say hi on Facebook. Say hi to us on Facebook. Tell us you heard about us here on the drive.
There you go. Fair enough. All right, brother. When are you going to come down and visit again? That was fun last time.
Probably pretty soon. I mean, everything seems to be kind of lightening up a little bit. And I, you know, instead of being not busy during the COVID thing, I mean, actually things really kind of kicked in the overdrive, you know,
right.
So we got busier than expected.
Nice.
So
I want to see. I want to see that black BMW. I want to see it. That little one you just described, the Z3.
Yeah, I should take that. That needs to go for a good spin. And you know, my other one, my 325 IS, I actually bought from a buddy of mine out in Bandon. And you know, and it was the same thing.
Look,
you know, about 4 or 5 years ago.
You could come visit both of us. You guys check out mybmwhabit.com. Jeff Dorgé, you can see he should have his own radio show. Do you do a podcast, Jeff?
We're going to be starting in about a month.
All right. So you let me know. We'll talk about it.
My podcast,
we'll talk about it. All right, you guys. I've got another hour to go. When we come back, we're going to have Josh Hancock and then George Kennedy III. Two wackadoodle guys, just like my friend Jeff Dorgé. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with another hour.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this hour is going to be wackadoodle, I can tell you right now, because I've got Josh Hancock on the line, the man that matches up the car with the character in all things Hollywood. He's Hollywood car consultant, joshcar.com. Here he is. And then, of course, we're going to have George. You know what? I'm glad I don't remember his name. I don't like him that much. George Kennedy III. Oh, did I say that on the air? Oh, jeez.
Think. George Kennedy.
I was going to say George Washington, but they just pulled his statue down. He doesn't even exist anymore. We're erasing him from the history of the world. What?
Wait a minute. George Kennedy III and his grandfather was an actor?
No. No relation. He's just a third generation Kennedy. Lives in Boston. I don't even think he's related to... Anyway, don't get into George Kennedy. I'll let him tell his story. Let's talk about... Yeah, we're going to have Kennedy on right after we have John Hancock's... What are you? How are you related there?
No, I was introduced as Wackadoodle, so I don't believe, you know. It was such an honor. Yes, from wackadoodle.com.
Right. I said the hour.
Very nice, Alan.
The
very
hour.
Nice.
The hour.
Great way to kick it off.
Thank you. Anyway, so what is going on in your world, Josh?
Well, as you know, I spend a lot of time, since I reside in Los Angeles, down at the Peterson Automotive Museum.
Yeah.
Which, if you will remember, we were there for, what, 6 years?
8 years. Golly, see? That's what
Eight
happens.
Years.
The older you get, the more the Alzheimer kicks in. I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of the most prestigious automotive museums in the world, let's face it.
True story. What's going on there?
And they reopened on the 15th. They reopened last week.
Okay.
And the crowds have been very good, which is lovely, and I'm so glad they're opening it. But they specifically are showing Tesla's Cybertruck.
Oh, geez.
And it's been easy now, easy. And it's been such a draw that they are extending it.
So, I mean, honestly, Josh, do you really think that Elon Musk is going to build that thing? That's a movie car. You should know that. It's a movie car.
Yeah. From the start, I really didn't think he was going to build it. And, you know, he has stated that it is 10% bigger than what the production vehicle will be.
Oh, so he's finally coming out and actually saying that's not it, because it's a cartoon version of what he wants to build. And my guess is, if you know Elon Musk even a little bit, he loves to surprise people. So he brings this space age looking, SpaceX looking cyber truck out that could be a transformer toy, you know, for adults, and all the kid adults, you know, the kid inside all us adults wants a cyber truck, transformer truck that, you know, does 0 to 60 in 1 second. To where your teeth, you know, you swallow your tongue, and, you know, it's crazy, all this stuff. But then he comes out actually with a pretty nice vehicle, and I think he will, but I just don't buy into all of the shock and awe of the whole thing. I just don't think that's what it's going to be. And now you're telling me it is going to be different, and I'm happy to hear that, John.
Well, we know it's going to be a smaller footprint. Now, he took it on Jay Leno's garage, and Jay drove it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. That's just a movie vehicle.
No, stating a fact.
Okay.
And but I don't think, you know, this is a sports activity vehicle.
Yeah.
This is really not a pickup truck.
No. No. First of all, how are you going to put anything
on a job site with this truck?
Right. And the bed sides are way too high. It's like a Bigfoot truck. You know, it's just, it's all about the sizzle and it's Hollywood. You're the Hollywood guy.
I'm getting the sense that you're not a big fan of the Cybertruck.
No, I'm not. All right, hold tight. We'll take a break. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it took you this long. We've been talking about the stupid truck ever since the day it came out. Don't go anywhere, Josh. You're listening to The Drive. Oh, my gosh. This is Chickenfoot learning to fall. And, I'll tell you what, if you fell out of the back of that Cybertruck, you'd crack your skull wide open. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Josh Hancock. Stay with us. It's The Drive.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
That right there was the sound of the new Tesla Cybertruck. You want to hear that again? Hold on. Here it is. That's it. That's exactly what it sounds like. The exhaust. Oh, that's right. It's electric. This is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Josh Hancock is right there. I'm sorry. It's just electric.
Oh,
what sound does it make if it doesn't make that, you know? I'm going to string a bunch of those
So they legislated that electric cars are supposed to have a sound, and they still haven't agreed on that sound yet.
I know what it should be. Get out of my way! It should be an old lady's voice, Jewish lady, telling people get out of the way. Because otherwise you don't know what's coming. They're just silent. But you can sneak up on people that are pulling statues down. That would be a good thing. You know, that's smart.
Yeah, please try to goat me into a political conversation. Please.
But Josh, if you're going to sneak up on somebody trying to pull down George Washington statue or something, you want it to be dead silent. Remember, if you think about, let's go way back to the Fisker, right? Do you remember what Henrik Fisker said about where he got a lot of the components for the Fisker Karma? They were actually from military use for that exact reason, to be able to sneak up on the enemy or get away silently without a heat, you know, the heat of the exhaust and stuff, to be able to see it at night. They had night vision goggles on, but the exhaust would show up, and they didn't want that, so they created this electric platform. See? Do you remember that? Or am I going out of my mind?
Well, no. I believe you. I believe you.
Jeez, I knock something over in here.
Believing you and agreeing that you're going out of your mind are two things that are separate, and I'd just like to make a note of that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You know, there's an awful lot of projects for new vehicles for the military that have spurred. I mean, the original Ford Bronco was basically a military project. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. See, we're teaching you something each other new every day.
So what they did was, Ford wanted to contract to replace the regular Jeep, and they wanted to send these. They actually did send some to Vietnam, but very few. So the Pentagon gave them some specs. You know, the doors had to be removed, the windshield had to come down, and had to have a certain turning radius, spare fuel tank, oil bath system on the V8. All of that was specs for the government contract. So Ford builds, you know, gets ready to build the thing, and then the Vietnam War ends, and that's why it got out into the public in 1966, and that's why it has the features that it has.
Have they finally given us any kind of update on when they're bringing the Bronco out? I know they delayed it for some ridiculous reason, but maybe it was valid.
Well, the reveal is July 13th. And let us also restate that the reveal of the full-size F-150 truck is Friday, the 26th. They're just reveals. They aren't coming. You can't go down to the dealership and buy them. The Bronco was originally scheduled for July 9th, which was O.J. Simpson's birthday. He, of course, tried to evade the police in a full-size Bronco. And the question is whether it was a mistake that Ford had scheduled that on July 9th. Right. What say you?
Well, you know, I mean, it's not something you want, you know, flaunted as part of the history of the launch of a kind of a retro-designed, beyond way back to the original Bronco. So you don't want the OJ thing even mentioned. Sadly, they flubbed up. I mean, and you know, shiznit happens, as they say. It was like somebody went, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. But yeah, oh my God.
It could have been an honest mistake, but when they found out, I mean, look, I think that they're smart to say, oops, we didn't know, we're changing the date. That was smart,
yeah.
You know, because other companies would have said, no, we didn't know, and they would have just kept going on. Now that they changed it, nobody's got anything to say.
I know, right? All right, hold tight. One more segment with you, Josh. Josh Hancock, he is our Hollywood insider. He has verified that the Cybertruck is going to be at least 10% smaller than Gigantor that they're showing over at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. I guess you can go see it. I personally would go the other direction. I don't want to see.
Wow.
I don't want to see that thing, Josh.
Wow.
Don't even start with me. We'll take a little break. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance, plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, don't forget to check out my my tribe on Drive Tribe, drivetribe.com. Download the app and join the tribe. Look for Alan Taylor. I also have The Drive. But Drive Tribe is Jeremy Clarkson and the gang from Top Gear. After they ended the show Top Gear, they started this kind of a car guy Facebook page kind of a thing, and it's called Drive Tribe. Check it out. Josh Hancock's still on the line with us, trying his best to convince me that electric trucks are the wave of the future. And Gigantor is at the Peterson Automotive Museum, evidently Elon Musk's crazy truck that is just a figment of his imagination at this point. I don't think he's going to build that particular. I'll bet it looks so different. It probably looked like what we haven't seen yet, the new F-150 from Ford. I know they've announced something, or there's going to be some sort of a digital thing. But, you know, we still don't really know. I guess we kind of do with the new 2021 Bronco, but nobody's really seen it on the street to get good pictures of it, you know.
Well, no, there's a lot of spy shots now on the Bronco, even in the last week.
Okay, well, I haven't seen anything where I could go, that thing is awesome. That's what I'm looking for.
That thing is going to be really awesome because it's going to be so capable.
Well, that's really,
you know, it's going after Jeep Wrangler on its own turf, but it will be a much better, and it'll have the off-road capability, but what it's going to have is a much better on-road manners than the Jeep has.
Yeah.
Because I've got to be honest, even today, and I love the Jeeps, but to drive a Wrangler on the highway at 80 miles an hour still feels like a canoe. It's got that Jeep wobble.
What have you been driving? A 1993 Jeep Wrangler? The new ones have been completely re-engineered. They're much better.
I realize that, and I love them, and I'm not putting them down, but there's an insecure feeling to some people on the highway.
Let me tell you what looks like. What you're talking about, that thing drives like a canoe. Your head looks like a canoe. What happened to you as a kid? They dropped you?
Obviously, they're a sponsor, and I have stepped in it.
They're not a sponsor at all.
I'm a big fan of Jeep Wrangler. Believe me, I am. I don't want hate mail. I already have hate conversations with you every time I talk to you, so I don't need the hate mail.
What's new?
I would like to say that the Bronco also, and I've said this before, is going to have quick release doors as an option.
Oh, I like that.
So, and you know, this is really something that, you know, look, it's great. And your Wrangler, it's 6 bolts, but you got to have a socket wrench.
A thing called a tool.
You don't have any place to put the door. So the Bronco has given you these tracks in the back. You open up the tailgate and the door slides into a track vertically. So, and it can do that nicely because there's no rear view mirrors on that door. They stay on the A-pillar.
Oh, see, and what they've done here with the new Bronco, we're talking about the 2021 Bronco, you guys. It's not quite out. It's not even, you know, they're not really, you know what I'm saying. It's like it's coming. But
he's not even seen an official photo.
Right. It's like there's some spy shots, this, that, and the other. But they've taken something that has been tried and true for years and years and years and years and years, which is the Jeep Wrangler, and they're like, all right, where could we improve on this? And they probably asked people that owned Wranglers, maybe that are even previous owners, what did you not like about it? Well, the doors, and nowhere to, but what do you do with the doors when they figured that stuff. It's brilliant. I think it's brilliant. And I think it will be a nice vehicle.
We know it's going to have the 2.3 liter turbo that they put in the Mustang and the Focus RS as the base motor.
Yeah.
And then it will also have a 7-speed manual available.
Well, Well, they're definitely appealing to the old school guys, you know, manual transmission.
Well, no. The off-roader crowd. It's not the old guys. Off-roader is like standard transmission.
I didn't say old guys.
It's a 7-speed, and I'm still talking.
I said old school.
Has a crawl. It's a crawler gear.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's a 7.
All right. Let me ask you, because I got like a minute, because George Kennedy III is going to run you off.
Yes.
What do you know about the new F-150, since we're talking about Ford? I can't wait to see on the Bronco. Yeah. But now, just real quick on what you know on the F-150, new.
The only thing that I know that's interesting is that it's going to have, the passenger seat is going to be like a first-class aircraft seat, and it will recline 100% and probably prop your feet up so you can sleep.
Wow. So you're not putting your feet on the dash to where if the airbag blows off, you're now kissing yourself in the wrong place. Yeah. That would be bad.
Right. So that's one of the things they've said about it. It's not going to be a big revolutionary design change, but they will always come up with features that nobody else has, as they have done in the past. And it'll be interesting to see those features.
So you have not seen it yet. Tell me the truth. You're going to hell if you lie.
I will not comment. I also want to say it'll be interesting since Chevrolet has gone to Chevrolet. You can get a 2.0 turbo in a full size Chevrolet pickup.
Yeah,
I don't think Ford will go there. They've got a diesel coming out. They've got a hybrid, and then they've got a pure electric coming out. I don't think they'll go to a 2.0.
All right, Josh Hancock, Hollywood car consultant to the stars and the movie makers. Thank you, John.
Wackadoodle.
Wackadoodle that he is. Thank you. This is a wackadoodle show. You fit right in. Speaking of wackadoodle, George Kennedy III is coming up next. We'll be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Subaru and the all-new Outback. Subaru, go where love takes you. You know, I love their slogan, love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Just a great company, makes good cars. You just don't hear anything but good about them. George Kennedy III joining us now. And George, we just had Josh Hancock on. I mean, I literally had to get rid of him. He was a disaster. A disaster. And hopefully, I'm joking. Josh is my pal.
I don't expect much better.
I said the same thing about you, just so you know. I said, I can't even remember.
But you tell
who
all,
is this
all
guy?
That,
yep. Yeah, exactly. Can I ask you, please, candidly, we do not have this. Listen, let me just tell you what I get from George. He wants to talk about, and as if anybody gives a crap that doesn't live in New England Motor Press Awards. So, no, we're pushing that all the way to the end because there are people that want to hear about the Bronco from a guy that goes off-roading. And then we'll get to your stupid awards, okay?
Well, I guess then we'll save the best for last, all right?
Okay. I am honestly, what's that insult dog? Thunder the insult.
Oh, triumph.
Triumph. That's
yeah.
I'm insulting everybody today. I just get in these moods. It's terrible. You feel free to insult me right back. I don't care. I enjoy it.
It's never stopped me before.
I know. No, it was my birthday over the weekend. And, you know, I grew a beard. I have to know, because of the COVID thing, hair, for whatever reason, people, hair is growing all over my body. I am human Sasquatch man. I went to take my shirt off the other day, and my daughter, she's 25 years old and pregnant. She's a little emotional. She started crying. I said, what's the matter? She said, Dad, you look like a Sasquatch.
And what show did I just call into?
Yeah, right. But I have a beard, and so I look like evidently like what's that guy's name? And he's friends with Josh. The most incredible, what is it? No, what is it? What is
the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, Dos Equis guy, right? And I'm kind of, I like that. I think he's a handsome dude, so I'm going for it, right? But anyway.
Lean into it.
You make that comment on my Facebook page, so now, you know, many other people are saying, yeah, you wish you looked like that guy. And my sister goes, you do not look like the most incredible man in the world, and you are not the most incredible man in the world. It's like, okay. Thank you. I love you too. Anyway, she's got a better beard than I do, so she can say that. But anyway, it goes in the family.
It's good to know that that you don't let the haters get to you. No, that's what's important.
I don't care. Listen, we live in a world of hate right now. That lady in Seattle says it's going to be a summer of love. It's going to be a summer of hate. She knows it. Anyway, let's back up. Let's talk about the Bronco. Josh was talking about the Bronco. Evidently, have you looked into this thing a little bit before they bring it out, the new Bronco for 2021 Ford Motor Company?
A little, and first of all, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank
but,
you.
Yeah,
that was last week.
A little bit. I often, you know, I try and follow the spy shots and the scuttlebutt, and you get a little bit from that.
Right.
From what we know, it's got some Ranger underpinnings, might share some stuff, but really until, with spy shots, you often might be getting a test rig for one component of the vehicle. So
right.
Say
a mule.
The photo.
Yes.
Yeah. So say the photo of the rear suspension where you get a great shot of the rear suspension from afar, it looks just like a Ranger. Well, what if they were just testing the powertrain or just testing the front suspension geometry and all of a sudden that information is sort of out of date? I often wait to see the official announcements because then you start getting to some nitty gritty. Often a lot of more important auto journalists than I have already done some backgrounders perhaps and gotten a sneak peek and their stuff is embargoed. And those deep dives will publish right after the car is debuted. So I often try and wait to get all the information first, but that's not fun or entertaining from a content standpoint. So we like to speculate. And frankly, the thing looks pretty BA. You know, there are two and four door variants, which I, you know me, man, I love two door SUVs. I had a two door 99 Chevy Tahoe. I love the idea of that. It looks like from some patent filings that there are going to be a lot of removable parts, maybe the roof, right. Stuff like that. Right. So, and then there's some drone shots of it out and about testing. And I mean, it looks pretty stout. And what's really cool is that, you know, I don't want to knock another brand, but, you know, Chevy brought the Blazer name back, and they brought it back as, like, a family-hauling crossover, and that's not what people want out of that nameplate. So the fact that Ford is bringing back the Bronco and doing honest by that Bronco name, that has me excited.
So my brother has a little tiny little terrier of some sort of a dog. I don't think the thing weighs 6 pounds. And the dog has the name, I think he calls it mule or horse or, you know, Brutus or something like this, right? And I go, that's what you call, you know, Brutus? And he laughs. He goes, I know, it's like an oxymoron, right? And I go, no, you're the moron. But anyway, but the point is, again, you know, insults. To call the Blazer a Blazer and make it a vehicle that is, you know, a crossover SUV that is family-oriented is not what the Blazer was. I think, like you said, the nameplate made everybody have these certain expectations. Same thing with this return of the Bronco. Nobody wants to see that big bulbous Bronco they had last time. They want to see the original Bronco. You know what I mean?
Well, I was going for a jog, believe it or not, earlier this week. And
Wait a minute. Let me tell you, you go any further, vitamin E is great for stretch marks. Continue.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyways, I just happened to see one of the new Blazers go by a couple of times. Somebody must have been running errands or dropping off Grubhub. Who knows? But I looked at it. I'm like, this is a Camaro SUV. It's very heavily inspired by the Camaro. I think they should have gone like almost like the Ford route with the Mustang Mach-E and called it like the Camaro Sport Cross or something like that. Because here's the thing. it gets you in the news. It gets people talking about it without sullying the Blazer name.
Yeah. See, I own a Blazer, so I get it. Believe me, I own a 73 Blazer.
Yeah, and those things are awesome. And it's like, you know, the more that that name gets, you can only dip into that so many times before people stop remembering the awesome one from the past and start remembering, like, the rental car fleet one from here and now, right?
Exactly. I don't know. I think our poor car companies today are so under so much pressure from legislation and, you know, electric garbage that I don't agree with. Hey, listen, if I was working for a magazine, I couldn't say that. I'd have to probably tow the company rope. But I don't have to because I'm not affiliated with a magazine. I don't think electric is good for a truck unless, I'll say it again, unless it's a hybrid. Then I totally get it. Because then you got an onboard generator. You got like clean electricity for a contractor on a building site. We'll take a break. I want to talk about Cyborg Truck. Cyborg Truck from Tesla when we get back a little bit more. It is The Drive.
Who can it be knocking at my door? Make no sound.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Now that's what a truck should sound like right there. I gotta do it again. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Trucks should not be silent. And I will not be silenced either. This is America, I have my opinion. Daggone it. George Kennedy III regretting joining me today because I am being very controversial. I don't like electric trucks. I don't want that Cyborg Truck. Not even want to see it. Josh Hancock tells me it's over at the Peterson Museum. You should come look at it. I said, I'll drive the other direction. Thank you. Anyway, what do you think about that Tesla thing? You know, I just, eh.
It does what Tesla was hoping to do, and that was make a splash, stay in the news. They couldn't really, you know, bring that truck forward without it being very different. And part of the reason for that is
sensationalism. Yes. Let's lie to the public and say, this is what we're building. And have everybody
an
outrage.
They claim that the production truck is going to be close to that. And it wouldn't surprise me. I've been wrong before, but it wouldn't surprise me if it is, mainly because no one is buying this thing to start a contractor's company. Like, they're using it as a lifestyle truck. And if they're buying a Tesla lifestyle truck, then it's going to be as different as, you know, the tastes of different buyers. Here's the thing, too. It had to be that different because it's not the only one that is trying to vie for that first ever mass-produced, you know, electric truck. You got Nikola, you got Rivian, you got a few others, Bollinger. And so all of those companies use a more conventional design. I mean, the Bollinger one looks like a Hummer. But the Rivian and the Nikola just kind of look like futuristic designs on a near future design of a conventional truck. The Cybertruck, it looks like 150 years in the future. And so I think that's what they were going for. They realized what the bar was for the market there, and they needed to once again stand out.
I would be embarrassed to drive that truck. Everybody would look at me like, boy, when are you going to grow up, Mr. 60-year-old? Because I just turned 60. And I act like an idiot kid all the time anyway. And if I drive that, it looks like a transformer. I mean, it's like, really? Why don't you just buy a transformer then? Well, that's what it is. That's why I bought it.
Right.
I don't know. Personally, I hope. And look, I'm a little bit of a fan of Elon Musk because he's such an entrepreneur. And I love how he's like Willy Wonka in the car factory, if you know what I'm saying. So he does all kinds of crazy, crazy things, and he makes the everlasting gobstopper called the Cybertruck. Nobody can swallow it, and it just keeps on getting stuck in my throat, and I try to.
Well,
Well, I can't hack it up. What,
one of the things that's funny about it is, you know, be it a lifestyle vehicle or not, you know, looking at trucks like the Rivian, where we kind of get to get up close and personal with it, like the last auto show that I was at, which was had to have been, I don't know, LA in the fall.
Right.
And they're using, even though they have a electric drivetrain, which gives them the freedom to change the format of the vehicle, sort of the layout, they've gone with the traditional like three box design. And the reason for that is without the motor in there, you can have a trunk in the front and a giant cargo area in the front. They've also done things like opened up a pass through that goes from one side of the vehicle to the other in between the cab and the bed. And so, you know, you think, well, hey, it's an electric truck. You can do whatever you want. But in removing the conventional powertrain, it affords you some unique storage capabilities that the Tesla Cybertruck kind of does away with.
You know, I get it. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. I will laugh my butt off because, of course, there is a butt for every seat, as they say. People will buy it, and it doesn't have to be in mass quantities. But I don't know. I'm still very old school. I cannot swallow this thing. And maybe Rivian, because I've seen what Rivian's going to do, and it's like, wow, now that could change
a little
my
more
mind.
Conventional, yeah.
I want them to change my mind. I really, really want them to change my mind. It's the same in the political world. You know, I'm always looking, well, you know, if you don't agree with me in the political world, change my mind. That's where we're at right now, and that's why the country's at war, you know, with itself.
I think you made a great point about the hybrid setup that, like, if you have a hybrid, you have a generator.
Right.
And, you know, trucks are designed for going long distances. Truck owners are used to, you know, going long distances between fill-ups and being able to take their cars out into the mountains and not have to worry about, you know, am I going to run out of fuel? You know, if you run out of juice, you run out of juice with this thing, unless you got some, you know, elaborate solar array. And,
right.
You know, for the people that are going to be buying this thing, it's going to be a daily driver. There might be some weekend warrior stuff going on, but you're going to Lowe's and back. and you'll plane around. And there are probably going to be a lot of current electric car owners who would consider one of these trucks. And they're sort of already into that mindset of planning their routes based on charging and range and stuff like that. So it might not be as...
You're hurting my head.
I know you're pulling your most interesting man in the world beard hair out.
No, I'm not touching that beautiful
coiffed
facial hair. It's only men can grow beards. Oh, that's right. I have that sister that has a beard. Okay, so we'll take a break. The cyborg truck, you know, it'll have some big solar panel that pops out of the roof or something. I don't know. I'm just, again, convince me. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about New England Motor Press Awards. Best winter vehicle. What is going on? You're way off track. Oh, and it says best convertible. Okay, all right. George Kennedy will try to save this segment coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Well, I'm feeling especially rambunctious today. I blame it on George Kennedy III. You bring it out of me, George. Maybe it's because you're from Boston. All the rioting, and Josh is from L.A. All that rioting. I don't know. I'm just feeling very rambunctious. All right,
we're just better drivers, and you must have just gotten insanely jealous.
I've been driving my 73 Blazer, and I love it. It's like pieces fall off of it going down the road. I don't even care. I just keep going. The New England Motor Press Awards, Best Winter Vehicle and Best Convertible. And you say, I know it's kind of weird. You guys did this evaluation in February, and you're announcing it in June. Go for it.
That's all right.
Yeah,
sure. So the timing might seem odd. But typically, when things are normal, we gather the New England Motor Press Association members of the automotive industry, and we actually have a summit at MIT where we have topics and speakers about technology, autonomy, electric cars. And part of that, too, is the presentation of awards for, you know, various competitions that we do throughout the year. One of those is the Winter Vehicle Awards, which we do the evaluation of in February. The other one is the top convertibles. And we did something new for this year. We typically will give it to, you know, an SUV or, you know, the Subaru Outback has won, I believe, a number of years. The Jeep Grand Cherokee has won a number of years. We actually split it out into three awards. So Winter SUV, Winter Truck, and Winter Sedan. Our Winter SUV winner was the Kia Telluride. Huh. The truck winner was the Jeep Gladiator, and the sedan was the Genesis G70. Yeah. And when we're evaluating this stuff, I always sort of stick to this one guiding principle, and that is, the things that make a winter vehicle good at what it does shouldn't detract from it in other areas. So if it's like a really good winter vehicle, but it's, you know, not super comfortable or it's not very versatile, then kind of defeats the purpose. And what's great about, you know, New England roads is that they're crappy. So it makes for good evaluation of very different vehicles. And
right.
The weather changes, you know, you could have sunny and 60 on one day, or you could have a blizzard the next. So those different road conditions, different weather conditions make for a pretty interesting, you know, crucible by which we evaluate these vehicles.
Well, again, a Telluride, Kia, we had them as a sponsor for a good long time. They have done a fantastic job. Of course, everybody is right now taking that wait and see attitude, with the exception of our current continuing multiples, like Subaru's been with us for like 15 years and Brembo for years. But some of these guys, they take a step back. They're like, all right, they pull in their budgets. They don't say anything. But I got to tell you, and they're not a sponsor at the moment because everybody's pulled in their budgets. I think that Telluride, every time I see one, I just go, God, that is a good looking rig. My wife still wants one. We still can't find one. Now, we found a black one and a dark gray one, but she wants white. Okay. So we have a particular thing we're looking for, but we're going to buy one. They're that good. When somebody will wait, I've been waiting 6 months to buy one. 6 months, still can't find one. So happy with that. The Jeep Gladiator, I got to tell you, again, I think you guys nailed that too. I will buy a Jeep Gladiator soon. I want a diesel one. Am I crazy?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, you know I'm a bit of a Jeep sycophant, so.
Sycophant. Sycophant. All right, so that's probably next. And what did you say? I have not driven the Genesis ever, and I don't know why. But I, you know what? Listen, I just started getting some test cars. I got one today. I'm so happy. It's been 6 months since I've, because of the stupid COVID thing, right? And now here comes wave two. You know, go ahead.
We also have the Ragtop Award. So that's our convertible awards. We actually, we broke that out into four categories.
All right, you got 1 minute to go blow through this. Hurry up.
Yeah. Well, you're going to like one of them in particular. But we do a value one, which is the Mazda Miata, which is just, you know, always nails it from a affordable convertible standpoint.
Right.
For our Heritage Award, we did the 10 millionth Ford Mustang, a special edition.
Nice.
Our Fun to Drive Award, we did the Toyota Supra, and that's more of just a straight up performance. We weren't really factoring the convertible element into. If you want a convertible, you can go get a BMW Z4. But our NEMPA Pure Power Award, so not just convertible, but this is just a straight up power award, we gave the Dodge Challenger Hellcat Red Eye.
Oh, and
you
yeah.
and I both love that
I
color.
I love it.
So.
Oh, that's good. All right. Hellcat Red Eye, because they're not making the Demon anymore. Possibly the most fun car, period, in my life at this point was, of course, the Demon. But Red Eye's right there with it. George Kennedy, thank you, sir. Where can people find out if they want to check that out in your area for New England Motor Press Awards?
Sure. We'll have articles about it, likely in the Boston Globe and other outlets. You can check out the awards themselves at NEMPA.org.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right. Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report, George Kennedy III. That's it for us. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week. Have fun. Keep your life sacred. Wear a mask. I'm not.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance, plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.